Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the July 20th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
You may stand in body or spirit for the call to worship down in your bulletins. We who have come to worship God, the living God, who calls prophets and teachers to speak truth and bear witness. We have come to praise God, the mighty and merciful one, who meets the forces of hatred and hurt with healing grace. We have come to worship God, gracious and generous, who chooses even us, yes, even us, to receive and carry the word of life and glory to God, now and forever.
Next is the hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Next is the hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
Old Testament reading today is Psalm 52. I'll be reading the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. So far as you can see. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth, Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. God will snatch and tear you from your tent. God will uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, see, the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God. Forever and ever, I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Spirit Song.
Some people enjoy my control of things with this remote, and sometimes the remote gets in the way. We turn to our scripture reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. This is a particularly troubled congregation that the Apostle Paul is writing to in order to both encourage them and also lead them on in the right direction. We pick up a very busy first chapter here at verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is the firstborn of all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and, yes, on earth. Christ made the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see. Things like thrones, kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is also head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and so he is first in everything. For in God, all God's fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Christ, God reconciled everything to God's self. God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were God's enemies, separated by God by your evil thoughts and your evil actions. Yet now the Lord has reconciled you through the death of Christ in his physical body. So as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy, holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you've received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming this entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations of the past. But now, it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that what the riches and glory of Christ are, and they are you, Gentiles, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing Christ's glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, mature, fully mature, in their relationship with Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Christ at the center. There's an Old Testament professor. He used to work at Duke Divinity School. He's retired now, but his name was Elbert Russell. And every Christmas, he and the family would gather. They would have their daughter's family there in Greensboro. And one Christmas morning, after opening presents like many families do, maybe not all, but opening presents and having a wonderful breakfast, there they were sitting around the table. And Rusty, the grandson, made a proud declaration to Grandpa. Grandpa, I've made a new discovery. Well, what's that? I've found all about Santa Claus and the myth of Christmas. The table went awkwardly silent. And then Rusty added, and that's not all. When I get a little bit older, I'm going to look into this Jesus business. Well, Grandpa Russell, who taught Old Testament theology and history, looked at his grandson straight in the eye and said, I hope you do. And if you look into Jesus, this Jesus business properly, he'll get you just like he got me. Today, I want us to do the very same thing. Look into this Jesus business. It is a core of the Christian faith, Christ at the center. There's only one thing that makes the Christian faith any different from all the other faiths in the world. It's utterly distinctive in this, and that is this point, Jesus Christ. No other faith claims that God became human, died for us, rose again, and yet that's the heart of our gospel, the good news. Jesus isn't an add-on. Jesus is the message. John Wesley, as he was training his first preachers to be sent into America and spread the gospel, he told them, offer them Christ. Albert Oatler, The foremost Wesleyan scholar in the 20th century echoed that to the end of his life. Hold fast to Christ, and as for the rest, hang loose. Presbyterians say it like this: Jesus is head of the church and Lord of the conscience. The Colossians, the book of Colossians, was written to a church that was facing challenges not unlike our own. In the Apostle Paul's day, there were Gnostic teachers, and these Gnostic teachers thought they had special knowledge, secret knowledge. And with that secret knowledge, they were spreading ideas that distorted this gospel. See, they saw Jesus as a helpful figure, but Jesus was not a real unique figure, and that there were other many intermediaries between we human people and divinity. That same distortion is here with us today, because some argue that Jesus is just one religious figure among many. One scholar puts it this way: Jesus is simply an elder brother, a trailblazer among other siblings. But that's not our gospel. We Presbyterians, we're known for welcoming theological diversity. And for us, that is a strength. We don't have to sign up and say we believe only these 10 statements, these 10 doctrines, these 10 ironclad statements that are made. We allow some variety. For instance, if you were on the floor of Presbytery and you said, I believe the moon is made of blue cheese, do your best at defending that. But for us Presbyterians, what the moon is made of is not central to our faith. And so you would get by. You'd get a little trouble, a little flack on the floor of Presbytery as you're being examined as a upcoming, perhaps, future minister. But good luck with that. It is a strength of the Presbyterian Church to allow those who used to be a Methodist, used to be a Lutheran, used to be a Church of Christ and many other denominations, you are welcome here always. And if we agree, on this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because in our diversity of belief, if it does not have a center, then it collapses. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is our center. And there's a saying that if you have everything but don't have Jesus, you have nothing. If you have nothing but have Jesus, then you indeed do have everything. So who is this Jesus? And Paul answers that question with three affirmations. The first one: in Christ we see the fullness of God. In verses 15 and 19, we hear these words: He is the image of the invisible God. In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus isn't just a moral teacher or a spiritual guide. He is God made visible for us. And if you and I ask, what is God like? And the answer is, look at Jesus. I'm reminded of the Southern aunt who insisted to her nieces and nephews that everything good comes from the South. And one of those children piped up and said, do you think Jesus was a Southerner? And she replied, well, he was good enough to be a Southerner. But Scripture won't let us settle for a sentimental Jesus. It was the writer C.S. Lewis that put it bluntly: Jesus is either a liar, Lord, or lunatic, and there is no middle ground, one or the other. The claim that got Jesus crucified was this: I am the Son of the uncreated God, and you will see me at the right hand of power. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. And as well, before Abraham, I am. That's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. It's only Jesus who says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Bold claim, very bold claim, but it's our claim. That's what we believe, because the Bible declares it and history as well confirms it. If we believe Jesus shows us who God is, then Jesus must be at the center of our lives, the center of our theology, and the center of our church. Because in Christ, we see the fullness of God. That's not all that Paul claims. Christ is the creator, the sustainer and completion of all creation. We find this in verses 16 and 17, where the words are, "For him all things in heaven and earth were created, and in him all things hold together." So before Bethlehem, the Christmas event, Christ was already present, because Christ is the agent through whom the universe came into being, and he holds it together still. Remember the words in the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. And if we scroll back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we hear God moving about the waters, moving about the chaos, and says, "Let us create." And then God spoke. And it was so with each piece of creation. This means that Christ is not just the answer to your and my spiritual questions. It means that Jesus is the key to all things: science, nature, family, government, justice, all these things. Every newborn carries the fingerprint of Christ. Every honest law, every dependable formula, every act of mercy, every discovery of science about the nature of things, they all reflect Christ's sustaining work. And it's no wonder that in our psalm, the psalmist says, "I will proclaim God's steadfast love," because he saw it everywhere. History is not random. It's headed toward the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is creator, sustainer, and completion of all creation. But along with that, thirdly, Christ is head of the church. Verse 18, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Plymouth Presbyterian Church, we are not a social club. We are the body of Christ. And we are animated by Christ's living spirit. And when Christ is at the center, our center, the church has power that nothing in creation can overcome. Well, people say the church is full of hypocrites. And you know what? They're right. And when people point that out to me, the church full of hypocrites, I usually say, "Come on in and join us. There's room. There's room for one more." You see, the church is not for perfect people. We stumble. We trip and stub our toes. We bruise and cut. But here as well, it's where people are transformed because the love of God is at work in us. And that love will not let us go. The world has tried to crush the church, Presidents have tried it, emperors, dictators, ideologies, but the church still stands. And why? It's because Christ is the head of the church. I know a woman who grew up in a home full of abuse. No one took her to church except one neighbor. And at that church, that's where she met Jesus Christ. And she found love and hope and healing. And that church centered on Christ saved her life from the hell of the home she lived in. And if the Presbyterian Church ever forgets that Christ is at our center, God will cast us aside like empty husks. But while we remain focused on Christ, we can be renewed. In 1495, the Florentine artist Leonardo da Vinci began to paint his immortal Vision of the Last Supper. Working slowly and with great care for detail, he spent the next 3 years completing the painting. When he had finished, he called a very trusted friend to come in and take a look at it, see it. As the friend was there, he said, "Give me your honest opinion." The man stood and looked long and hard. And then he said, "It's wonderful. In fact, that cup is so real, I cannot keep my eyes off of it." And you ask, "What cup?" Well, it's because immediately after that comment, Da Vinci took a brush and drew it across the sparkling cup and removed it. He said, "If it affects you that way, it must not remain." Well, but why? The cup was beautiful. "Because," Da Vinci said, "nothing whatsoever shall distract from the attention of the figure of Christ." I know Dan Brown's book has been written and a movie made on the Da Vinci Code. And it was all surrounding, why no cup? There's the answer. Da Vinci said, "Nothing will take away the eye and the attention on Christ." So there you have it. Da Vinci's code solved. And for those of you who are taking notes, I know many of you do, mark today's on a calendar that I gave you this helpful hint that from now on you can dispel the Da Vinci code rumor and suspicion and all that goes with it. When you are asked to explain the dynamism in Christ's church, point to Jesus Christ. Is there any glory for anything we do? Give it to Jesus. If someone wants to know how we survive heartbreak, tragedy, point them to Jesus. If they ask why we do not despair in the face of poverty, racism, drug use, tell them that nothing is impossible with Jesus. If someone wants to know how we remain confident, even when the world is mired in deportation, war, and hatred, tell them the victory belongs to Jesus. If they wonder why even death cannot intimidate us, tell them. Tell them clearly that we know someone who has conquered death. And his name is what? Jesus. Jesus Christ is at the center.
Next is the hymn, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me."
I'm gonna live so God can use me.
seated.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Go full of the grace of God.